Shir Hashirim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes. Now, you know, the Sipurnus approach, Rashi seems to deal very much with the validating the relationship that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even though it's behester upon him, he seems hidden from us, and we often hide from him. Yeah? We hide under the covers. We hide under the, you know, we do many things to hide from him. But Lamaisa, that relationship is there. That love is there. Sipurnu seems, from a lot of the psukim, to be taking a different angle. He seems to be fluctuating between the shortcomings and the milas of Klal Yisrael, which is a similar kind of a thing. In other words, because despite all the shortcomings, he underscores the milas, which I guess parallels a little bit the hester upon him, and the love is still there. The milas is still there, despite the fact that there are so many shortcomings which seem to cover them over. So we're up to now another piece of Mila. Achasi yonosi samosi, achasi le'imo, borihi le'yoladito, ruah v'noisi ashruho, melochi sufilagshim v'haleluho. That's Pasuk Tes in Perek Vav. So the Sipurnu learns like this, yeah? Achasi yonosi, my dove is one. That's that precious bird, is one. What does it mean? Ho'umo hadvuko bi keyoina mi bibaila. The Klal Yisrael is that umo, that's dovuk, that's cemented, that's attached to Hashem, dovuk by Hashem, like a yoina to her mate. Now, I just thought that for that we would reference the dveikus of a yoina, because that's a reference in the first perek that here, for example, it says, Hinoch yofo rayosi, hinoch yofo einayich yoinim. So Rashi says, einayich yoinim, you have tzaddikim amongst you, shadov kubi keyoino, that have connected to me, like yoino zu shemisha makeres es benzugo. The minute she recognizes the benzug, shemakeres benzuga, eino manicho she is davig la'acher. She doesn't permit him to have anything to do with anybody else. It's an exclusive relationship. But here, so we have, forgive me that I don't remember it properly, so I'm going to cheat a little bit. I found this book here on Shir Hashirim, you know, and he quotes here a very interesting thing. What? I don't know, but listen to it. It doesn't matter, really. You know, listen like this. Towards the end of the first parak in Shir Hashirim, the pasuk says, "Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are like doves." So the story goes, I guess I do remember a little bit, that Rav Aryeh Levin used to tell that he knew this Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin, I think, was the son of the Netziv, I think so, but from that family, from the Volozhin family there. Anyway, so he came through Shalayim in his later years, and he would say Shir Hashirim every Erev Shabbos. And when he came to this posuk of Einayich Yoinim, he would cry. Yeah? He would always be crying when he read this posuk. So Rabbi Aryeh asked him, he says, "Why is he crying?" So he told him the following story. Let me just read it, because in case I forget a detail. When Rabbi Berlin was a rav in Moscow, a Jew came to him in the middle of the night and told him that his wife had given birth to a boy, and he requested that the rav come to circumcise his son. The Rav Chaim Berlin was also a moyel. He told him, however, that he would have to come in the middle of the night, otherwise the man's life would be in danger. Because they weren't allowed to do bris milah in Russia then. The Rav asked him, why is he willing to put his life in danger to have a bris for his son, considering the fact that he's not even religious? His answer was that his son will probably also not be religious. But if he would ever want to return to a life of Torah and mitzvahs, it should be easier for him if he already had a bris. And for that, he was willing to put his life in danger. Rabbi Berlin explained that the text compares the Jewish people to a dove. The Talmud tells us that the dove only goes away from its nest as far as it can still look back and see it. It goes out to get food, whatever, but it never, it's some kind of a thing, it never goes beyond where it could see back to what's doing in the nest. He says, so too the Jew. He may distance himself from his religion, his creator, but he does not allow himself to be cut off completely. And here he was, this friar guy, that he was ready to sacrifice his life, that his kid, who would not be religious as far as he understood, but that if he ever wanted to come back, he shouldn't be so far removed. So that's the comparison to Einayich Yoinim. Anyway, so he says here, so this Klal Yisrael is compared to the Yoinim, that's Dvuko Bebailo. And I guess included in that is this sense of even when we drift, we remain connected. You see, it's so true. I Taina, in all the years of experience with these kids running off the derech, I tell everybody, I said, they're running away, and they keep looking back to see who's going to pull them back. They're running, fast speed, and they keep looking around, just hoping. And they give you, if you listen to people talk when they go off and when they do things wrong, they beg. Please help me. They beg. What do you mean? Help you? You're rebelling. You don't want to have anything to do with it. And you speak with such venom and vengeance and anger and frustration. But if you listen, Bein Ashurais, you hear that they're begging. Please bring me back. Help me back. Because ultimately, they know that the neshama of a Jew. Now, it could be that there's two levels. I just think just for the man ha'emes. The neshama of a Jew who never tasted what the Torah was, has no idea, doesn't know anything. He also has that craving, but it's on a different level. It's on a deeper subconscious level. He doesn't know what to do with it. He doesn't know where to go with it. He until finally he sees something. How many times people have described the first encounter, like one guy said, he saw them open up a Sefer Torah, and he felt like deja vu, like I was here before. It had no sheiches, nothing. No sheich. Wow. It's something familiar. There's something there. Because the neshama has memory that's deeply buried. But Kol Shekein, the one who has had an experience, even though that experience was negative, and even though that he's running away from it, but he knows where it's really at. The experience has rejuvenated the subconscious memory, and Meisa now, he wants to come back even though he seems to be running. Okay, so that's a Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising Klal Yisrael, the Uma Hadvuka Bi Keyoina. Tamosi, that's what Achasi Yonosi, Samosi, what is that? Hashtam is Sholem, Hashleimo Mikol Uma Zuloso Becholele. I think it's Kedai to stop for a moment to think. We talked before, the Sepunut learned before, the Psukim spoke before, about the shortcomings of Klal Yisrael. And sometimes when we look at our shortcomings, we think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, he sees everything I know about my shortcomings, he knows even better. Memela, oh, zagroisa groba sheg, it's what I am. You know, so like we feel very inadequate. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Klal Yisrael with a very interesting look. He says, Hashleimo mikol umo zulosu b'chol eile. He says, he compares us to the rest of the world. We should be careful about that comparison, because when we do that, we say, oh, I'm great, so therefore I don't have to do anything, you know. If we compare to the rest of the world, we're ahead of the game anyway. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu compares us to the rest of us. He says, listen, you are HaShleimo Mikol Umo Ezul Oso. You're not Shleimo. You're definitely not Shleimo. We're definitely not Shleimo today. Look at the Klal Yisrael's Matzav. But Im Kol Zeh, it's Shleimo Mikol Umo. And the truth of the matter is, when you think about it, it's really true. You know, we get offended sometimes in the press where if a Jew does something, it's, you know, inappropriate. It's front page news. If a goy does it, it's someplace hidden in the back where you almost can't even read it in the small print. You know, so we're very offended. Anti-Semitism is that. And it's true. But on the other hand, there's a certain amount of justice to that because more is expected of Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael is recognized, the Jews, not only the religious Jews, but the Jew is recognized to live by a higher moral standard. How did he say, Rabbi Stern with Hebrew National for the years? He says, we answer to a higher authority. That was his hashgacha. That was how they were selling delicatessen, you know, Hebrew National meats. So we answer to a higher authority. You know, so that type of a thing, and that's expected of the Jew. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at that too, and he says, he looks at us as HaShleimo. What do you mean Shleimo? Shleimo? No, HaShleimo Mikol Uma Zulosa B'Cholela. We're more Sholim than everybody else. And that relative Shleimus is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Machshiv also. So that should give us a sense of self-worth.
Do you compare yourself to other Jews?
What?
Well,
I would say that let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it for you.
So we should.
If you do it, then there's a little danger in that.
Yeah, but it uplifts you.
Okay. So, all right, that's good too. That's good too, but it has to be taken with a grain of salt. Because he's not affected negatively by doing so. But we could be, as long as I'm better than the next guy, so I don't have to, you know. So we have to be careful. I think you're right, and I'm sure it's appropriate on a certain level, but it's also dangerous. So it has to be balanced. Okay, anyway, let's go on. He says, Achasi le'imo, lisoro techoilelchem, loy la'avrom sheyotze mimeno yishmoel. He says, Achas le'imo, yeah? We are one to our mother. Soro, who was the one who created Klal Yisrael, said, we're one to her because she didn't have anyone else who went off. Not to Avram, because Avram had a Yishmoel. Borohi lo yoladito, borohi lo yad lo rifko, oyheves es Yaakov lo yes esav. Clear, I guess, boro is for lotion of borur, maybe. Borohi lo yoladito to rifko, it was clear to us because she loved Yaakov and not Esav. She recognized the ways of both. Now, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be praising the Klal Yisrael. So look at the praise that he finds for us. We emanate from a pure mother. A pure mother. Avraham Avinu was a pure father. Motzosa es lavovoi nemon lefonecho. Avram, how does it say? You know, meur kavetzis meur kastim v'samtoshma Avraham. Motzosa es lavovoi nemon. Avram Avinu was motzosa nemon lefonecho. Avram Avinu was the one he brought his son al be'akedo. It's mamish Avram oyavi. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks to us and is miyaches us to Sora, because Sora and Rivka had a special mila. Sora, the mila was that we stem from the what's the lotion? Achasi le'imo le'sora mechtelchem lo lavrom, from someone who was completely perfect, pure. Nothing came out negative from her, and that is a part of the evaluation process of Klal Yisrael. We stem from a mother, Sora, who had nothing negative.
What do you mean by negative?
She didn't have an Esav. She didn't have a Yishmoel.
Esav came out also.
What?
Later on.
Okay, but it's still not the same thing. We hold, you know, I'll tell you, you're right about that. I think about that often, about the difference between children and grandchildren. So, I mean, personally, I think about it. So I came up with the teretz like this. I say, grandchildren, they bought him kibonim. Oh, but the mice, in the grandchildren, you have a shutuf. You could blame the parents. You know, on the bonim, you have to take full blame yourself. You know what I mean? It's bonim, so there's no one else. Grandchildren, yeah, oh, it's my son-in-law's fault, you know, not my daughter. It's my son-in-law's fault, you know. This was my daughter-in-law's fault. It's just, there's someone else. It's not the same sense of the love may be the same, and the responsibility may be the same. In the din of Talmud Torah, shinatam levonecho applies to bonim u'bnei bonim. That's true. That's what the Rambam says clearly. Mitzvah lelamed benoy u'ben benoy. That's part of the because b'nei bonim kibonim. But in a certain sense of achrayis, it's not the same thing. Because anyway, so Hashem looks at Klal Yisrael and he sees this special mile. And what's this mile? Look who your progenitor was. Techoilelecho, the one that formed you, was who? Was Sarah. Nothing negative in her life. Rivka, bore hilo lalto. The Rivka, I have a says Yaakov lo esayisov bahakira es darchei shneim. She recognized all we stem from Rivka. So it seems that despite who Avraham Avinu was, and who Yaakov Avinu was, but Yitzchok Avinu was, but we have this. Besides that, we have to look at the mothers. Look at who they were. They didn't even have anything negative in their lives. And I imagine that there's some. And again, this is
Rivka
just
had,
what? No, but Rivka loved. So then he says, yeah, but she may have had Esav, but she didn't love him. She loved Yaakov. Rivka. Then he brings the pasuk. Rivka hevesis Yaakov. In other words, she discerned the difference. She had an Esav, but she discerned the difference. That's what he seems to say. So there's something tama. We are borehilo. We were clear. So in other words, there seems to be something about this yichus that we have to look at that was so exceptional. Even more exceptional than the Ovis, than Avraham and Yitzchak. You know what I mean? Yitzchak was Yeshiva Yeholim. Yitzchak was the Korban, the Oila Tmim. Avraham Avinu was the one who brought his son Verotzo Lishchay Toysoy Kedei Lasis Ritzonecho. And yet, there's something beyond that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he looks at Klal Yisrael, he sees all of that, and yet he sees beyond that. He sees descendants of a Sorah, who had no negative in her life, of a Rivka who discerned the difference and loved Yaakov rather than Esav. So it's like he's miyachas us to these super pure, insightful. But to me, the chiddush is to see that it's beyond Avraham and Yitzchok. How can beyond Avraham and Yitzchok? There's nothing greater than that. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael and appreciation for Klal Yisrael, he even invokes something which goes a step beyond that. Ru'uha b'nois yashruha ki'inyan, and then he says there's one more thing that's also a praise of Klal Yisrael. Ru'uha b'nois yashruha, nations, b'nois usually refers to the umos ha'olam, and the v'yashruha, so the Sepura says, ki'inyan rochav hazoyna be'omra ki Hashem elikechem hu elikim b'shamayim imal v'al oretz mitochas. That's the pasuk in Yoshua. I think we read it a little while ago, maybe by Shlach. So the pshat is like this, that the milas of Klal Yisrael are such that the umay so'ilam, not just rochav, I guess it's ruabonais yashruha, and that the umay so'ilam recognize. When the umay so'ilam see Klal Yisrael, they recognize that godless. And I have to say, from my own experience, that this is really so true. You'll say, what do you mean? Look at all the Umos HaOlam. They'd rather kill us, and they don't. They're not. But it's not true. Expose a goy to Yadus HaAmitis, to some real expression of Yadus, and they want to join. Over the years, when we used to do these Arachim seminars, so not always did they agree with me, but I always used to bring goyim to the seminars. Not goyim stam. Goyim that were either married to a Jew, or goyim that were engaged, or even couples that were dating, you know, a mixed couple. And the idea was that even though we're not looking to convert the goy, but if you can reach the Jew through the goy, then you do whatever you can to save a Jewish life. So I would not even tell them. I wouldn't tell the people that they were. Whatever it was, all kinds of games we had to play. I had to decide whether, whatever. Anyway, So what I found invariably was that by the end of the seminar, the first one to be mekabel that they want and be mekabel and malchus shemayim and to be religious and to be megayer and everything was the goy. When you expose it, when you show it to them, they see it. And in a certain sense, they may even see it better than we see it. You know why? Our vision is blurred. What blurs our vision? What? Well, yeah, but what's his name?
Yes, we don't want to
okay, but he has a name. Yetzirah. We have a Yetzirah. A goy has no Yetzirah. There's nothing interfering with his. What? What's that? Doesn't have a Yetzirah against Yadus. He's not mechuyev. Kol agod mechaver yitzra god leimenu. The reason that a person has a greater Yetzirah is because the Yetzirah has to fight. A goy doesn't have a Yetzirah to fight Yiddish guy. He's nothing to fight. He's not mechuyev. You hear? So memela, he sees it easier. But if a person can remove the, if I care, that to me is even a sign. Remove the Yetzirah, remove the negia, and you'll see what it is. Ru'ua b'noisi ashruha. Is there another posuk? There is an end of the posuk. Melochus of Yilagshim ki inyan malchus shvav shivchaseh ko omro. Ashrei enoshcha v'ashrei avodecho eile. That the Malka Shvo and her Shvochis, she saw, he says, you people are fortunate. Even your avodim, even to be an eved to a Jew is a form of osher. In other words, the goy can see it. The goy doesn't have these blinders, but today, if the goy doesn't see it, that's the same reason the Jew doesn't see it. Why don't Jews see it today? You think the Jew has a Yetzirah, it's harder. But why don't they see it? They're never exposed to it. A person, if you can get a person to open his mind and his heart somewhat and to evaluate the milas, the benefits, the simchas hachayim, the value system, the sensitivities, the sense of meaning and purpose in life, everybody will embrace it. Everybody. Goyim, they get so upset because they say, I've been lied to my whole life. There are people that, even Jews, that they never had an education. They say, I heard one guy, I never saw a primary text in my life. I never knew any of this stuff. I remember one guy we brought here to speak on once about tshuva. So he said, how did he become a Baal tshuva? He says his whole life he thought that the Bible is Bubba Mises. That's the word he used. It's a book of Bubba Mises. That's all. That means Sipurei Safta. You know, Bubba Mises. That's all. That's what it is. Anyway, and he says, then he started to read about Zen Buddhism. Yeah. He started to read about Zen Buddhism. Then he saw that the Zen master was quoting from the Bible. So he says, that's my Bible. I'm going to go look at the Bible. He starts to look. He never opened it up. He never saw. All he knew was Baba Mises. They began to see values and ideas and sense and sensitivity. And I maybe did something with some commentaries. I don't know what he did. And then eventually this man in his older years, very, very brilliant man. He was extremely successful in big business. Became a Baal Tshuva. Because so once you expose, the exposure is compelling. But we have to let ourselves be exposed. But here I think this is interesting in terms of us, besides all of that, but how the Klal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Klal Yisrael and sees, compares us to the Umois, and therefore sees that we're Devuka and Kiyoina. And then he says, look where you come from. I look besides Avram and Yitzchok, which were the greatest of the great, but I have a Sora, who didn't have any impurity in her descendants. I have a Rivka who was Mavchin, the difference between Yaakov and Esav. These are your progenitors. These are where you come from, and the whole world recognizes you. And that is the yachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to Klal Yisrael, which should really elevate us to a great extent, and to feel that we should feel, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels so up, so positive on Klal Yisrael, that we certainly should feel that way about ourselves. Shouldn't get it to our heads, you know, and get carried away with it. But we should have that sense of appreciation of who we are, and memela, that'll motivate us to rise to the occasion.